Hey everyone, welcome to Connect the Dots. I'm Jeremiah Garcia, your host from Guide Dogs of Hawaii. This is a safe space for blind and visually impaired individuals to come together, share experiences, and learn from each other. Today, our guest is a court interpreter. He was born in Laos, but went to school at UH Manoa. He achieved a BA in education, as well as a BA and an MA in economics. He started interpreting when he moved to Hawaii, as there was a need for it at the time. In addition to being a court interpreter, he also worked as a community interpreter, an oral proficiency tester, an employment service specialist, and a teacher. He enjoys fishing, singing, traveling, and is happily married with kids. I want to welcome Cam Porter to Connect the Dots and start off by asking, what inspired you to become an interpreter?
I love languages. You know, I enjoy a lot of languages. you know, it's not just the sound. The sound has meaning, you know. So I listen to many languages. Oh, wow, I love this language, you know. And it's being musical. It just like resonate with my brain, you know. So, oh, yeah, I want to learn that languages, you know. And that's how it started from the beginning, you know. And so that's why it was like my interest, you know, about the languages, you know. So, yeah, that's how I think that's how the makeup of my brain is, you know.
How old were you when you started to realize that you loved learning languages?
Oh, when I was very young, actually. I was born at a different place and time, you know, when I listened to the BBC and there was an English lesson, you know, it sounds so musical, you know. Wow, you know, it's so beautiful, you know. So I want to know what they're saying, you know. So that's how that's probably like maybe when I was like 10 years old.
So what kind of schooling or training did you need to complete in order to be an interpreter professionally?
Well, that was a long time ago, but I came to Hawaii and I already speak a few languages. And so, you know, I speak Lao, Thai, French, and English. And so there was a need, you know, that was in 1975, 76, you know, when I came here as a refugee. And so there's a need for a lot of interpreter for all those refugees here from the Indochina. So I just dive into it, you know. So I help a lot of people as an interpreter.
When you moved to Hawaii, you already had the qualifications to become an interpreter, but you still went to college for classes unrelated to this job. Was there a reason you wanted to study for other jobs?
Yes, actually, I was just wondering about the world. You know, I couldn't understand why. So besides the language, yeah, so I get full scholarship actually from the State Department, you know, to come here and be trained as an English teacher. So I attended UH. I got a Bachelor of Education in English Language Teaching.
Before you moved to Hawaii, was there any reason besides personal interest that required you to study a language?
Well, like I said, you know, I learned, you know, English, I learned French, because Laos was colonized by the French. So if you want to go higher education, you really have to study French, because, you know, beyond sixth grade, then all the instruction is in French. So there are a lot of French teachers. So I study French very hard, you know, so that I can go into the higher education. So, and I was glad. I can speak French very well. I graduated from French high school. I went to college in France and all kind of stuff.
Were there any assistance programs to help you with finances when you started your career or went to college?
Well, along the way, there were some. But, you know, I was blind. It was later on in my life. It wasn't at the beginning when I started out my life here in Hawaii. Okay, I was blind when I was like 2015, I think. Yeah, when I became totally blind. So I already accumulated all my credential and skills and all of that before that.
When did you officially start interpreting as a career?
I've been interpreter for when the refugee, you know, that's Indochina, that was like in the 80s, okay? So that time I still could see and walk around, can do things. And so I actually, it was that time, it was like because there's a need, because a lot of these refugees came in, so I communicate with how the establishment, you know, the different departments and how they can, you know, get help and be part and all of that. So that was before I became blind, actually.
Do you feel like becoming an interpreter was the right decision now that you're blind?
Being an interpreter is still good for me because I don't need to see anymore. All I need is just my good brain and my good ear and I listening to the language and just like help the wherever the court, the judge, you know, it's just it's quick and fast, you know, because I listen to the language, I can just be just help people to communicate with each other in their world, you know, and that was fun part of it. It could be stressful because the kind of environment that they are in is different world, especially in the court system.
Did losing your vision impact your job as an interpreter in any way?
You know, like I realized that, oh, being an interpreter, there's no hindrance at all. Because I think the public really, they use the word translator and interpreter, they don't quite get that. Even many journalists, you know, they really have no clue what that is, okay? But interpreter, you don't need to see. You don't need your eyes, okay? Interpreter is, you just have the good listening skills. Translator, I used to be an interpreter and also a translator. Translator means like, you know, I have this book. How much would you charge? I say, okay, this book, if you want me to translate into Thai and Lao, it's going to cost you $3,000, okay? And then, okay, all right, they do it, okay? And then take months to complete that. And that's translator, okay? Interpreter is like you listen, and then you, whatever being said, you know, between the language, you just have to quickly say it, you know? And that's why I'm good with the court, you know, because in court it's like a, you never know what's going to be said. You know, it's unpredictable and it's a different world there. You know, different rule. And you have to be respectful. You have to say at the right time, the right place, and all of that.
So you worked in the State Department of Labor.
Yes.
What did you do there?
Well, there are different titles. Before, a long time ago, they called it Employment Service Specialist. And then they changed it to the title of Workforce Development Specialist. And what I do is like, you know, people that were unemployed, and then I counsel them on how to, whether they want to have a career change or whether they want to find a job or get training or whatever. So I consult with them and come up with a career plan for each person and then implement the plan and find the resources to help them to achieve their goal. I love that job, actually, you know. So it was, looking back, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot.
Did you find any assistive technology helpful after you went blind?
Well, you know, because of the advance in technology, yeah, we have the iPhone, the, you know, the Victor Reader, you know, and wow, it's such a wonderful thing that, you know, now that I don't need to write in a piece of paper and jot down quick and thing. I can just use Victor Reader. I use the iPhone. A lot of information that I get to my brain is still perfect. You know, it's not direct. You know, I don't need to go to the paper and writing and things like make note of it. You know, so that transition really helped me to continue to enjoy my life. You know, so I still actually I realized that you know, there's one thing. Yeah, you know, when you no longer don't care about the visual cue in the world, actually, wow, it take away a lot of distraction. And then my brain is like, I can think deeper. You know, because I need a few cues, how the world works and how I be part of that. And that I can make quick, faster decision without distraction from the visual cue. In a way, I kind of like, wow, it's a wonderful world. You know, the kind of world that, you know, we you know, our life, yeah, our body keep changing, you know, and that's part of life, right? Yeah, but I mean, the world I live in is like, I'm still, as long as you are conscious and be aware of your surrounding and what's going on, and now I feel like I'm a better I have more listening skills, you know, the cue from just certain thing and this and that, and that's where it is. It just go to your brain, and then you are aware of that kind of stuff, and then you still can move on with your life and still happy.
What do you enjoy about your role as an interpreter in the court?
You know, you never know what's going to happen and this and that. You know, it's a different kind of situation, how the conflict between the people of the world, you know, so they need to understand clearly. And you have to be able to help the judicial system understand those people that brought to the court and all of that, and they understand each other, you know. That's my satisfaction, and I don't need to be like, I am interpreter, you know. No, my satisfaction is when there's harmony and that they everybody understand each other. It doesn't matter what language you talk, you know. They, so I'm glad, you know, like, I mean, the judge, the court, they have elaborate kind of language, very specific vocabulary and all of that. And then, you know, the people that were brought to court, whether defendants or the plaintiff, whatever. But, you know, I feel satisfied that, you know, about the process, and I'm part of that.
So, with this profession, is there any form of advancement or promotions?
Okay. You know, it's not just a one employer. I work with the judicial system in Hawaii. Yeah, my name is there on the website. But I think the world, they see my name there as a, so they contacted me from mainland, and you know, so I continue to do that. For me, it's not so much of the financial rewarding, you know, it's just like the joy of being part of the process, and that help how, you know, humans communicate with each other, and that they understand each other and satisfy whatever they do.
Let's say you were called in for court to be an interpreter. How would an average day of work look like for you?
Yeah, usually in the morning, the court, they process that, like, they just have to make decision, like, what's your, you know, A&P, they call it arraignment and plea, you know, like, guilty or contest or non-innocent, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, that's in the morning, how the court process. And if you're going on trial, that will be in afternoon, if it's going to be a short one, or it depends on how the court arrange it. And then some of those trials can last for a week, and then that's very, very, very long process. You know, all the judge, the prosecutors, and the lawyer, defendant, they don't know how the process is going to end up. It could be a week, it could be longer, okay? You know, that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to standing there, and that's just, my brain's going to, whatever language coming in, you know, from the all those people in charge of the court, and then I just need to make communication flow, you know, easily. So, yeah, that can be it can be a long time, or it can be very quick and fast. But during each case, I feel, of course, very heightened. I have it's always stressful, you know, when you have the height alert and can listen and react and that kind of stuff. It's not. But at the end of it, it's like, I'm glad it's over.
In Thai, could you tell me what your favorite hobby was in your home country?
In ngan adilek khong pom na, yu thi lao na, pom tham gap khao, mae pom chob jang leoy na, lako pom chob pai ra neua, lako pai tuk pa ha pa, yangan na, pom chob maak kap. My hobby is, I love to cook all kinds of food. I love to go fishing and hunting, and also I love singing.
So you also speak Lao, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so in Lao, could you tell me what local food you enjoyed before you moved to Hawaii?
Khoi ma kin khao, kin lap, kin gang, kin tamakung, อันนั้นมันอาหารลาวแท้อืมรักกินข้าวเหนียวโอเคของหวานก็มัก I said I love to cook Lao food. There is papaya salad, chicken salad. I love to make soup, sweet sour soup. I love to eat sticky rice, and those are my favorite things, yes.
Looking back at everything you've done in your career and every job you've worked, what has been the most challenging part?
It's always not going to be perfect work, it's going to be, because each one is not perfect, it's not always the way you expect it, But at the end, I have more patience, I still can... unless they no longer be able to communicate with me, I still try to connect it with them, but they not always gonna be the way they were. I had a lot of friends that don't remember me anymore. I mean, I call them, say, who? the kind of stuff. so that's the way life is, right? I mean, nothing is permanent and stable forever. Everything changes,
Now, you have a lot of years of experience under your belt in these jobs. So have you ever thought about retiring, or is it something you're going to want to do until you can't?
It's not like, I'm retired, I have money now, I don't worry about No, it's life. I live my life. I enjoy what I do. You know, there's no thing that, oh, I'm going to retire and don't, because I enjoy what I'm doing, you know what I mean? And so I'm going to continue to do what I do. Interpreter is one of the things that I really enjoy doing because I love languages. I would do that for the rest of my life. So, yeah, there's no retirement. It's because I enjoy doing it.
You love your profession, but I know there's also other things that you like to do. You have a bunch of hobbies. So could you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of your favorite hobbies?
I love to sing. I love to cook. I love to garden. I like to socialize. Those are some of those things.
Is this something that you go out of your way to practice, or is it just something you have fun with whenever you have free time?
Well, everywhere I go each day, I mean, I go out and, you know, I connect with people. I find people that have similar interests, and so we still can connect and still talk about the, you know, the stuff that we enjoy doing.
If you were talking to someone with a visual impairment who wanted to have the same job as you, what advice would you give them?
You know, live your life, meaning that just enjoy each day that you, when you wake up in the morning. Yes, of course, you're going to look at yourself, how you feel about yourself, you know. You're going to tell people that depressed and, smile and be happy. No, you really have to connect it with them by listening. And that's how you started, how you can give energy. Actually, if you have a positive energy, you can energize other people so that they can be happy like you are, you know. Oh, at the end, like, of the conversation, after 1 hour, we are happy. And that's how I found the way I communicate with people.
This has been a good conversation, and I would like to close with a thought-provoking closing question. How did you see the world as a child, and what did you learn that helped you mature?
A child, I was wondering how the world is. You know, I look up in the sky. Everywhere I feel like, how come I'm always the center up there? And then I wonder about the... So, and then it comes with this cosmology, and I learn about the stars and the universe. I always in awe and fascinated with life. It's not just like the way we are. We just, I learned a lot about the star, they're born and they, you know, the nursery, and then they die after billions of years, and then there's a planet surrounding that, and then in each of the tiny planet, just like the Earth, you know. I have that references, you know, it's not just me. I think you suffer if you only think about me, you know, but if you have that perspective about the whole universe, actually you just you're not that important, you know, a big scheme of things, you know. So it gave me you know, since I'm gonna die anyway, whatever, just like everybody else, all my friends, many of them pass away, I don't worry about dying anymore. So that's why I really enjoy each day. Each day is just wonderful. You know, I really enjoy each day because I eat delicious food. Whoever I talk to, I just can relate to them fully. You know, that kind of stuff. And I really feel each word they say, what they do, I really pay 100% attention to what they say, and I enjoy each of the little thing that they say to me. Okay, I just enjoy each day to its fullest.
As we draw to a close with this episode, I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed your visit and found useful information. We welcome your feedback at feedback@guidedogsofhawaii.org. It would be great if you would visit us on our social media platforms, such as Instagram and Facebook. You can find us by simply searching for Guide Dogs of Hawaii.